to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the worker.
War on the worker.
Oh, it's a
welcome
war
back to the Rick Smith
the
Show.
Worker.
Check out the website, TheRickSmithShow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. So, you know, over the last 30 years, and I've been talking about this for a very long time, wages have been stagnant and declining. Conditions are getting worse. We're seeing this growing apart of our communities where you've got the handful of wealthy elites and then a desperate working class. And I keep saying, At some point, we, the working people, rise up, take back our government from the oligarchs, and move us back in a direction of shared value and shared prosperity. And this election cycle, I'm hoping, is it. Because we've talked to candidates all across the country who are saying, look, we need to come back to solid American values, solid working class values, and fighting for working class folks. The Democratic Party, I think they've lost their way. The hope is that we have a new class of folks who are going to take them back in the right direction. And my next guest, hopefully one of those guys, his name's Carl Sporer. He is a candidate in Illinois' 15th congressional district, running against someone who I think is kind of way off the fringe. Carl, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you for having me, Rick. Really an honor to be on your show today.
You know, I look at this, and the Democratic Party's been kind of weak, especially when you're talking about labor issues. And as I ask every candidate that ever comes on this program, where do you stand on labor rights for workers to organize?
Well, it's essential that we reverse this tide and start strengthening labor rights, because really this attack on labor is an attack on the working class and the middle class. And if they win this battle against the labor, we're all going down. And so whether you're in an organized union or not, you better get on board, because it's going to affect all of us really soon.
You look at this, and again, I tell the story often, and when I started working some 30 years ago, the first job, real job I had, I was making $15 an hour with a health care and pension credits. Top wage was over $18 an hour. That exact same job today, 30 years later, pays $14 to start, $18 top rate, and no benefits. Again, the working class just being crushed, not only by inflation, but also being crushed by not having the ability to sit down and bargain for better wages, hours, and conditions.
And when you throw productivity into that, we're asking for a living wage of $15 an hour. But when you throw productivity into that, the living wage should be at about $20.40 an hour. So we're even undercutting ourselves and lowballing ourselves at $15. I don't think people understand what's happened over the last 20 or 37 years it's been, where we're being bled to death a little at a time, and hopefully there'll be one good piece of news that comes out of this Trump administration, and it's going to be the wake-up call, the rallying cry for all of us to say, hey, the water's on high and it's boiling. We need to jump out of this pan.
So what made you decide to jump into this? Look, jumping into the fishbowl is a huge, huge commitment, a huge decision. What made you jump into this?
Well, the truth of the matter is when I woke up on the 9th of November and I walked into the kitchen and my wife was already up and making coffee, and she had a tear in her eye, and she said, he won. And I said, no way. And she said, he won. And that was all I needed right there. I mean, when I saw that, my wife and the response that she had, I knew I had to do something more than just sit around on Facebook or Twitter and complain about it. I had to actually, get up out of the chair and take action. It evolved from there. So, my next question was, what action am I going to take? And I know that the U.S. House of Representatives is where you slow down a rotten administration. So I started looking at my representative really closely, and it didn't take long to see that we had 22 years of a sycophant. And so between those two things, I got active. And then, it changes. Once you get active and you start going out and meeting people, those reasons that got you out of the chair were really important. But then you meet people and you see what's going on in these smaller communities, and you really open your eyes and you develop a compassion really quickly for the human faces that are being affected by all of these policies that you were alluding to earlier when you were talking about the corporate socialism in your last segment. And so it becomes really easy to take getting out of the chair from to a walk, and now we're at a run. Well, we're going at it hard.
Good on you. But here's the thing. I mean, I look at your district, one of the most, 71% voted for Trump. You're in Trump country, I guess, right?
Absolutely. And, it really concerned me. And when I talked to the campaign manager of the last person who had run in this district, because our representative got a pass in 2016, she spent an hour and 20 minutes telling me all the reasons that I shouldn't run and all the reasons that we couldn't win. And it was quite depressing.
Right.
But after about two or three days, I kind of went, she just drew me a roadmap of all the things that I shouldn't be doing, and we need a different plan. And I've been blessed to play rugby for 20 years, and I've walked on a field with some really big, tough people, and I never once walked onto a field thinking I wasn't going to win or I couldn't be a winner and being intimidated, and I'm not. I'm taking it head on. We're on the offensive. And I would say that to unions and to the Democratic Party as a whole. We've been playing defense for way too long. We need to circle the troops, and we need to find the points where we can get on the offense and go back on the attack. And that's really what my campaign is about, is not being apologetic for standing up for the working class, but being really proactive and energizing them and let them know, someone's got your back. And we're going to attack, and we're not going to be apologetic anymore for all the things that have been taken from us. We're going to get them back.
I've been saying just that for almost every day that I've been on the radio over going to be 12 years now, saying, look, the Democratic Party's got to find a set. They've got to be the party that's going to stand up and stand with you in a street fight, not just offer to hold your coat, but actually mix it up. And look, sometimes you're going to lose a fight. But you've got to fight. And, I look at your district, and the reason I brought up the fact that, 71% voted for Trump, there's got to be a moment of awakening to where, look, I believe he won because he ran on labor issues. He talked about manufacturing. He talked about trade. He talked about jobs. That's it. That's where you live, making people's lives better through better employment, through better opportunities. And, the Trump people have got to be able to see that right now, this guy's not doing any of that, and their lives aren't going to be better. So it's going to be incumbent on someone like you to say, this is the way forward, because I think those people can be gotten if you have a good message.
Well, you're exactly right. About 2 months ago, I was down in Metropolis, Illinois, which is right on the border with Paducah, Kentucky. And I have to tell you, when I first got out of the car and was driving down there, I was a little bit intimidated about just that, the fact that I was going to the number 10 most Republican city in the state of Illinois, and that Trump had won the district by such a large margin. It didn't take long of going out and talking to people to realize that the majority of people and the perception that we have of this base that is impervial to any information, there are a small amount of people, but the response that I got from working people and Republicans and Democrats was really positive. It really, when I left Metropolis, I felt fantastic. Like, people just wanted someone to come down and listen to them and hear the things that are going on in their community and start to offer some real-world solutions that can be implemented, and I got a really positive response to that. So I would say to all Democrats and people running against in these really heavily red districts, don't be afraid to go out and spread the message. People are dying, literally, for someone to come stand up for them and actually follow through once they get elected, which I think you were alluding to a little earlier when you were talking about what the Democrats, you know, have been done and the failures of the Democrats, is in a number of cases, labor and the working folks have been behind Democrats, get them in office, and then they forget who put them there, and they don't do anything to follow through. And we have got to, as a Democratic Party, also target those people and replace those people as well. We need people who understand what's going on out there and to really put forward legislation and get it passed and get these problems addressed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've got friends that who live there in Metropolis, Illinois, worked for Honeywell, and we used to have folks on all the time when they were locked out because they locked the steel workers out. And again, it's this constant assault on working people, and I think that message resonates regardless of party affiliation. That, you know what, we're going to stand up and fight. And I think that's why Democrats have lost. I mean, I look at Chuck Schumer, I look at President Obama. You know, they talk a good game. But where's the follow through? I mean, Obama went around the country saying union in every context, yet no Employee Free Choice Act.
Well, all you have to do is go back to 2010, and we know we had both houses of Congress and the presidency. And what did the Democrats do for labor? And you know, nothing. I mean, nothing of any value. Lip service was all we got, and so a major opportunity to change the tide was lost, and if we get that and when we get that opportunity again, we had better not squander it.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, being in a rural area as you are, you know, the fight over the Affordable Care Act, I'm sure you're in repeal and replace country, but when you're talking to individuals, when you're out there, you know, on the trail, what kind of feedback did you get from folks?
Well, there's certainly that group of small business owners that I hear from on a regular basis that are struggling with the structure as it is. But when you start talking to people and you start looking at what the impact on the hospitals, which are not only providing the essential services for health and long life, but they are major employers within these small counties, they're aware that if we repeal this thing, that not only are they going to lose their primary source of care, they're going to lose a heavy percentage of the jobs that are available in their communities, and they get that. So they understand that, like any big project or undertaking, that when you launch it, it is not going to be perfect out of the gate. But you don't tow it out to sea and sink it just out of spite or because we don't like Obama or because it wasn't branded Republican out of the gate. You don't sink it. You bring it back into port and you make adjustments with it and you fix it and you fix the shortcomings and you make it work. I'm sure when Medicare was first launched, we could find issues with Medicare. But look at what a great service it's doing in our communities nowadays. And we need to take that same approach with the ACA. And I think the majority of people, at least the ones that I've been in contact, understand that.
Now, you know, the guy that, you know, I wanted to ask you a couple of real quick questions because,
sure.
You know, you look at the ACA and, you know, I'm a single payer guy, just to let that be known from the beginning.
Amen.
What do you do moving forward? Because obviously the guy that you're running against, Simkus, Shimkus, or however you say his name, he's a repeal and replace guy, right?
Oh, absolutely. He was on the forefront of repealing and replacing. So there's a couple things that need to be done. First of all, we need to get the costs under control. The guy that I'm running against, he was given a party 2 months ago for getting 242 signatures to block Medicare from negotiating with drug companies. And there are a number of things of that nature on the cost side that can be addressed. So that's the first thing, is getting these companies that are raping and pillaging the American people under control through some form of legislation. And then once we do that, funding it and using the mechanisms that were put in place when the legislation like this risk corridors, right? You know, Rubio blocked funding to risk corridors. So the Republicans are running around saying, you know, there's only one provider in this marketplace. Well, there's a reason there's only one provider in the marketplace, because there was supposed to be this three-year window where companies could come out and price it, and if they underpriced it, they were going to get reimbursed
right.
So, until they had this time to make the adjustment. Well, we collapsed that program. We defunded that program, or at least the Republicans did, and that's one of the major reasons that these good – there was a lot of these not-for-profit insurance companies that really went out and were aggressively trying to take part in the program, and those are the ones that were put out of business by this, and that's the reason we only have one provider. And you know, I'm getting tired of hearing this argument from the Republicans that, you know, it's collapsing. It's not collapsing. You all are intentionally trying to collapse it, and that's got to stop. You are sworn to uphold laws when you take the oath of office, and you are the ACA is the law of the land, and you need to work to uphold that law, not undermine it.
I'm right there with you. Climate change, your buddy, the guy you run against, a denier, where are you at?
Oh, my God. You know, I mean, it seems to be such an easy issue. You know, where do you start with that?
I think that's the perfect answer.
I'll stop there then. You know, I gave a one-word answer in a town hall, and, you know, I got compliments for giving a one-word answer, so I'll know when to shut up. So we can move on.
last question I've got for you. You know, how can folks help? How can people be involved? What's the ask? Because, look, we need to get these Tea Party twits and these climate deniers and these repeal and replace. We need to get these people out, put them back, you know, on an island somewhere. We need to get rid of them out of our government. What do we do to help you?
Well, you know, look, you know, that's a question that, you know, I want to answer, but I want to, you know, just preface it with, you know, for 54 years, I have not been a politician. And and now I am a politician, and honestly, I'm proud to be one, because I'm going to be a good one. And I think that's an honorable profession when you are a good one. Unfortunately, it comes down to money these days, because no matter how much work we do, when your opponent has, you know, $1.2 million in the bank account, and he can come out 4 weeks before the election and start running ads about, you know, how much I love Nancy Pelosi, or all sorts of negative ads that have no basis in truth about you. And people who are really not up on the issues then hear those ads and go to the voting booth. They bury it, and you know that was the problem with this Koch brothers decision that the Supreme Court made to allow money into it. So, you know, we need to raise money, and, you know, I'm almost apologetic to say that, but that's the truth. We can only go so far, you know, so fast, so far. And then people in the district or even outside the district that want to volunteer for phone banks and those kinds of nature, you know, the traditional on the boots, boots on the ground campaign thing. We need thousands of them, right? You know, we're trying to turn a blood red district into a blue district, and it is going to take a lot of work by a lot of folks. What I will say is, when you start out as a candidate, you think about it in terms of, I'm going to do something, and what can I do? And when you get out on the campaign trail, you realize that there is no I in it. This is about us. I'm just one person on the team, and, you know, join our team. Support our team financially, and as a team, we can overcome that 71% that you've been alluding to. If you don't mind, I plug my website. It's carl2018.com. Very easy to remember, and Carl with a C, not Carl with a K.
And we'll make sure we get a link at therickSmithShow.com of how you can check out Carl Sporer's website, carl2018.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at carlsporer2018. Also do the Facebook thing, carl2018. Instagram, 2018 Carl's, all right there. Good stuff. Carl, I'd love to have you come back as you continue this journey and fight to take back some sanity in your district. I'd love to have you come back.
It's been a pure honor. I will come back anytime you want me on your show. I will be there, and I will also throw it back at you. You know, people in my district are going to hear about the Rick Smith Show, and we will be getting people tuning in to you as well. the information that you're providing is invaluable, and God bless you.
Thank you so much, Carl. I appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you again. Quick break, right back. Again, Carl2018.com, the website. Right back. Stick around. This is the Rick Smith Show for working people. Come to talk.
The war on the workers. War on